Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The core short from Vuori is one pair I keep reaching for. Morning run, afternoon training, watching the game, it doesn't matter. Soft four-way stretch, built-in liner, comfortable all day. Plus, they look good enough to wear well beyond the gym. Ready to try a pair? Head to Vuori.com/pod20 to get 20% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Tonight's the night. Yes, I know we get the NFL schedule, but tonight, Game 6 in Philadelphia, the Celtics will look to stave off elimination against the Philadelphia 76ers in the East semifinals. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is he has been kind enough to break down the Celtics all playoff long with us, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Gary, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Well, quite honestly, we're tying ourselves into mental knots right now over this team, the performance from Game 5. I know they've been here before, Gary. Can we put some real stock into that the Celtics and a lot of this group was in the same situation last year? Because I know just in talking to fans and Fourier and I chopping it up, it does feel a little different than last year.
Yeah, they feel a little bit more discombobulated than they did last year. The Game 5 in Milwaukee, they lost at home, was just kind of they blew a late lead. So however you want to lose, like, do you want to lose how they sometimes lose where they blow a late lead like they did against Atlanta, or do you want to get blown out like they did against Philadelphia in Game 5? Pick your choice of losses. They came off a loss in that game last year where they blew a late lead. And then they gave up like an offensive rebound by Bobby Portis between two guys and put them ahead. So it was a really demoralizing loss in itself. And then they go to Milwaukee. You're talking about Giannis and the guys, a tough place to play, a place they haven't had a lot of success in. Jason Tatum wins, you know, so scores 46 points and they win that game. And then it blow them out in Game 7. So I guess there's some hope and optimism when you look at that situation. You know, and then they came back and they lost the Game 6 at home. Obviously, you know, when Jimmy Butler scored 47 points and then they came back and won a Game 7 at Miami. So this team is capable of winning on the road. They probably should have won both games. Obviously, should have won both games against Philadelphia earlier in the series at Wells Fargo Center. So there's optimism, but you just don't know, guys, where this team is at mentally. They just don't seem mentally all together. It just seems like something is going on in that locker room. I don't know what it is. The casualness they came out with in Game 5, some guys were upset. Other guys were more like, oh, we'll get them. We got another one to go. Like, it just doesn't seem like they're all on the same page. I think this could be the toll from this season and all the chaos early going, just kind of having its long-term impact on them. Who knows? I'm sure some stuff will come out after the season, but I hope they understand the repercussions here. If they lose in this series, I think there's going to be some serious significant changes on this roster. You can't run the team back and hope for different results, especially in a season like this where the finals is laid out for you. Like, you know, you either got the Knicks or Miami in the next round, you know, and the best team in the West is probably Denver, maybe the Lakers. I mean, all those teams are beatable. It was there for the taking, and they blew it if they lose this series.
So talk to me about this game, though, from a, I guess, a tactical point of view. If you're Joe Mazzulla, you obviously have a, you know, an Embiid problem, a James Harden problem. So how would you, I guess, you know, set your lineup? Would you keep doing what he's been doing, or would you kind of, you know, go like a double big type look with Rob and Al?
Yeah, I probably would try the double big look to get some more rebounds, get some more physicality, give Embiid some resistance. And Christian, I didn't think they had maybe a James Harden problem in game five. They had a Tyrese Maxey problem. Like, they don't know how to defend him, and they're giving him open threes. He took 12 threes in game five. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he takes that many threes, but obviously they left him open, and he took full advantage. He had six of them. And that's all come. He had 30 points. They've got to calm him down. If they get your typical 30 points from Embiid, that's going to happen because he's going to get to the free throw line. You know, he's just that good. And you hold Harden to in the 20s maybe, and you got a shot. You know, but Tobias Harris can't get off, and you know Daniel House came off the bench. No Sixer had a bad game in game five. It was just like game one. And so the Celtics are just going to have to try something new. And they got to get stuff, get you know, it's a matter of just getting stuff from production from the guys who haven't produced much. Derek White's been quiet in this series. Robert Williams has been quiet in this series. They haven't played Sam Hauser much. I'm sure we'll see some Peyton Pritchard. Like, he's got to throw everything in. You got to win this game. There's just too many repercussions for losing this game. Like, this is a game you got to win. Tatum can't start 0-for-9 and then form it up in the second half. Like, a lot of good things have to happen for them tonight for them to get this win. They're capable. They're fully capable. And I don't think Philadelphia plays that well in game five because I think that was the best game of the series. But you can't bank on that. You got to take this from them.
Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, Aggression Fourier, breaking down game six of the Celtics 76ers series, which will be played tonight. I know Embiid is an MVP. He's a tough matchup for everybody, Gary. But how can the Celtics do a better job against him? Do you need more Time Lord? Do you need more Grant Williams? Do you need another body? And how much of getting after Embiid is continuing to challenge him in the lane and try to draw some fouls? It feels like, Gary, that at times, as soon as Embiid's in the middle, there isn't that aggressiveness to the rim, and that's got to be a part of trying to affect him, isn't it? Forcing him to play on that defensive end.
Yeah, you got to make him work on the defensive end. And when Al Horford goes 0-for-7 from 3, Embiid becomes a free safety, and he just lurks. He's not afraid of Horford hitting shots, and Horford had a bunch of open looks and just missed all of them. That's a bad thing. Secondly, when he's on offense, you got to send someone closer to him. You can't just give him the open 15-footer. Okay, like Embiid is a great mid-range shooter. I think we saw that when he scored 52 against the Celtics. Like, he's not the guy, he's not Shaq, okay, in terms of, like, he's not going to get on the block and just literally dunk on you 12 times. He'll pitter-pat, you know, he'll jab you to death with mid-range. That's his game. He uses the glass. Like, so you can't do this drop coverage, you know, and protect that he might drive to the hoop and then give him an open 15-footer. It's just too easy for him. I thought the Celtic defense against him was putrid. It was just – it allowed him to get comfortable. I mean, and you're just going to have to give something up. Like, double him if – you know, Niang and Harris sometimes hit threes. That's what you got to deal with. But you just can't let those guys get threes and then also let Embiid get two. Somebody's got to get stopped. Somebody's got to get contained. You know, and Embiid wasn't amazing the other night. I think it was 9-for-22, but he got to the free throw line. Remember that, you know, that 30 seconds transfer, Grant fouled him twice shooting jumpers where he was just leaving. Like, that can't happen. Like, the Celtics were in the bonus, I want to say, in the second quarter, a chance to make a run for, like, the last 7 minutes. But it was the Sixers took more free throws during that last 650 or 7 minutes than the Celtics because Embiid got to the line a bunch of times. Like, you can't give him easy points. You got to make it hard on him, and he's still got the knee issue. Make him work on defense. Make him chase guys or have him clear out the middle, because at this point he's standing there in the middle, and as you guys can see, the Celtics are afraid to attack the paint because they're afraid to get their shot blocked. Sometimes you're going to have to get it blocked. Sometimes you got to challenge him and try to get a damn foul. I mean, you can't be, you know, he's not Godzilla there. Like, you got to literally challenge him. And if he blocks it, you got to take, you know, it happens. But you can't sit there and avoid him at all costs and then take a bad shot.
So we're talking to Gary Washman of the Boston Globe. Now, so, Gary, so when a guy like Tatum gets the yips, and he's starting off slow, right? He just, you know, the last two games he started off slow. And you look at his stats from game five, you're like, wow, 36 points, wow. But it still felt hollow. How does a guy like that, I mean, I guess, break his, like, you know, crappy starting streak? Like, how do you even, like, convince him, like, to break himself out? How does that even work?
He's got to get to the rim, get to the free throw line, get a couple of layups. Get his confidence, get a little mid-range. He's a good mid-range shooter. It doesn't necessarily have to be threes, and it seems like Jason's forcing threes, and obviously they're leaving him open and because he's missing them. They're going to wait till he hits some, and he's shooting, what did I say, I think 30% in the series from three. Like, they'll take that. They'll take him missing 7 out of every 10 and knowing that they'll probably get the rebound, and then that's an empty possession. So the Celtics have to find a way to get Tatum just some free for some hoops, like easy buckets, free throw line, you know, and then they got to get Jaylen going too. Like, they need to punch first here. They can't start off slow. I mean, they can't fall behind. The crowd's going to be rocking. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere. You know, the Sixers haven't beaten the Celtics in the playoff series since 1982, so they feel this. And the Sixers have not won a title in 40 years, so they're hungrier and have long, you know, had this hunger for a title. And this is their best chance with the MVP, with James Harden playing well. Like, they feel it. So the Celtics are going to have to do something different, and Tatum is going to have to be the first-team All-NBA guy. Like, this is what first-team All-NBA players do. If you're a first-team All-NBA player, then you have to play like it when it counts. The pressure's on Tatum.
Gary, I know that it doesn't pertain to tonight per se. However, with Jason Tatum and now Jaylen Brown both being named All-NBA, they're eligible for extensions that would total over $600 million. To tie in tonight, if the Celtics lose tonight, do they look at that potential financial commitment to one of the Jays or maybe even both of them a little differently if things go south tonight?
Yeah, I think they have to determine whether, and I think they've determined they both can play together. I think they have to determine how to improve the supporting cast, perhaps. So I think if they say, okay, because remember, Brad Stevens is lobbying for Jaylen to get all NBA. They know, the Celtics know they got to pay Jaylen almost $300 million. They knew that was going to happen when he got all NBA. They know that's on the table. And they've been preparing for this for years, and everybody knows that Tatum's going to have to be re-upped next year, and it's going to be over $300 million, okay? So you're going to have, you know, $600 million over two guys. So they had to figure out, okay, if these two guys can play together, how do we help them become a championship team, a legit championship team? Is it moving another player in the rotation? Is it making, you know, getting another all-star, getting another a productive big man and figuring that maybe Robert Williams and the 45 games a year and maybe that just doesn't work long term in terms of being a starting big man. Get another starting big man. What do you do to enhance the roster? And obviously, owing $600 million of those two guys, they're going to be financially limited. They're going to be swimming in a luxury tax. So there's some real financial commitment that's going to have to come from ownership. And I feel like they feel like they've done that. They re-upped Smart. They re-upped Williams. They just extended Al Horford. They acquired Malcolm Brogdon, who makes $21 million a year. They acquired Derek White, who makes $17 million a year. So they feel like they've invested. So that's what makes this even more frustrating that they're at the brink of elimination, is that they feel like they've invested enough in this team to be a championship team. It might take more.
So, Gary, you mentioned, you know, we're talking a lot about the Celtics. I'm just curious about, you know, on the other side of the ball, like the Sixers, 1-7 in the last 8 series clinchers versus Boston. There's got to be some stress level associated with them, especially Doc Rivers, like with his like history of coughing up leads with teams that he has coached.
Totally. Totally. It's a big game for Philadelphia. They're going to be on, you know, and they don't want to go back to Boston. They don't want to go. They know that if they play another game in Boston in game 7, all the pressure, the chances of them winning are not good. So they have to get this tonight. And as our friend Ace Rod Blakely pointed out on the podcast I did with him, this is the first game in the series, maybe you could say game 4, but the first game in the series they played with real pressure. The Celtics have had all the pressure in the series. Game 1, oh, you got to win because Embiid's hurt, they lost. Game 2, you can't lose both at home. Game 3, you can't lose the first in Philly, you're going to get buried. They won that. Game 4 was sort of like Philly having to win to avoid, you know, being in real trouble. But this is the biggest game, I mean, they're saying here in Philly, in Embiid's career. So these guys are feeling pressure. They don't feel – they're not going in this, well, we got 2 to win 1. Like, remember the 2010 Celtics did that. And they gave away that Game 6 in L.A. in the finals, and they end up losing Game 7 when Kobe had all those free throws in the fourth quarter. And that's one of the more regrettable losses in Doc's career. Is that game 6? They scored 67 points in that game. If you guys remember that 13 years ago, they just gave it up. They entered that mentality that we got 2 to win 1. And yeah, the Sixers do, but they want to win at home. They want to make it easy on themselves. They don't want to take 2 days off and go back to Boston for game 7 in a raucous atmosphere. Now the Celtics have their swagger back. They feel like they need to get one win and they can move on. So this is a huge game. As you said, Christian, for Philadelphia, a lot of pressure.
Gary, I thought one of the things that Philly did masterfully in Game 5 was control the pace, control the tempo, and in a way, they ended up controlling the officiating. Does that still apply tonight, or do the refs just kind of get out of the way? What are you expecting from that end? We know officiating comes up all the time when certain names are connected to closeout games.
Yeah, and some of these guys aren't involved. It's a crew that should be pretty decent, okay? I just think both teams have to be aware of officiating. The Celtics especially have to avoid, especially Jaylen Brown, the early fouls, the tic-tac fouls, the loose ball fouls, fouls that don't mean, you know, sometimes it might be good to allow just a layup as opposed to getting your second foul in the first 3 or 4 minutes and things like that. To me, it's a psychological battle. Like, Doc has outcoached Joe Mazzulla. I think anybody will say that. And the one thing I noticed Doc did, Gresh, in Game 5 was the minute the Celtics got a little momentum, he called timeout.
Yeah.
Like, you're not getting, two baskets in a row too much. Nope. You're not taking control here. You're not getting back in this game. I'm going to call timeout. Get a good after timeout play, give Embiid, Harden, or Maxey a good look, and we're going to stop this. And that's exactly what happened. He controlled the tempo. He slowed the game down because the moment the Celtics are getting to that point, they scored a couple of buckets. And remember, I mean, and they also didn't hit any three-pointers. If they hit a couple of three-pointers, the game's different. The Celtics probably – it's a much closer game if they hit 2, 3, 4 more three-pointers, obviously, than they're – instead of behind 12, they're behind, you know, 5, 6, 4. So it's a manageable game. They can come back in the fourth quarter. But the fact that they didn't get any, you know, those three-pointers off the break, they didn't move the ball, they weren't doing that, and they were getting twos. And then the moment they got a couple of twos together, Doc stopped that. And I think that's how he managed the game. You know, Joe has got to figure out a way to outfox the old fox. I mean, that's the way – it is, and this is a big challenge for Mazzulla, and he's getting a lot of heat, and some of it's well-deserved. And maybe this is the learning curve for a first-year coach, but, you know, he's got to make some adjustments to Doc's adjustments. And he's got to figure out, okay, you haven't seen this before. This is what we're going to unleash on you for Game 6. You deal with that.
Great breakdown from Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Gary, thank you, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy the hell out of tonight, and hopefully we've got plenty of reason to keep talking here in the month of May into June. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Gary Washburn of the Globe.
The Stratotech tee from Vuori is one of those shirts you put on once and immediately get why people love it. It's incredibly soft, stretches with you, dries fast, and still looks sharp enough to wear from a workout to the ballpark without missing a beat. It's become my go-to tee for pretty much everything. Head to Vuori.com/pod20 for 20% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.